Genesis 9:15. What does that say? You have your Bibles? Genesis 9, verse 15. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Who was remembering? Who was promising to remember? Well, God was. God said that he's going to remember. Memory strategies. I hope you weren't expecting this class to spend the next 50 minutes or so just telling you how to teach memory in school, though we'll be coming to that again and again. But rather, this class is more of a mind opener, hopefully a mind stretcher, about memories, how they work, how we can use them. I will be using this book quite extensively. I think the author did well. Your memory, how it works, and how to improve it. There are three signs that you are getting senile. The first one is that you begin to lose your memory, and I can't remember the other two. Now, first of all, this morning, 10 myths about your memory. Maybe it's too bad to start negatively. I have to move rapidly here this morning because of the amount of material we should cover. So I'm going to hurry along. 10 myths about your memory, things that are not true. And you could use this for a bulletin board at school, I have already. And then talk about them as you go along throughout the days. First myth, memory is a thing. No, memory is not a thing. Does a doctor ever say he needs a memory transplant? Maybe you wish he would. Or does he ever say after an x-ray that really looks like a bad memory, it definitely needs to come out? A memory is not a thing. Number two, the next one, there is a secret to a good memory. So you were hoping this morning for some secret, some pill you could take or something. There aren't any. There is no secret. But there are helps. Another, there is an easy way to memorize. No, it's not that way. So maybe instead of saying, I can't memorize, we should be saying, I'm too lazy to memorize. Because memory is work. Another, some people are stuck with a bad memory. It's not the way it is. I'm taking away some of your props here this morning. I'm taking away your favorite excuses. But that's the way it is. Another, some people are blessed with photographic memories. Now, you might say, well, I've read stories about, yes, I know. And there are a few people that have come amazingly close to a photographic memory. But actually, it's still not photographic. It wasn't a snapshot and then it was there. There was some decisive purpose in how they picked up the data, at least in almost every situation. Another, some people are too old or too young to improve their memories. So your students can make excuses, and neither can the grandpas. Yeah, I have many stories in here too, but you may tell a story, that's fine.
Well, there was a lad riding with me in a tractor who was under two, but he was working on big words. And I said, can you say anti-disestablishmentarianism? No. And within a year, he said, I can say that word now. Now what happened? His parents didn't say it.
Mm.
They didn't know the word either. Obviously, when I said it, it stuck.
It stuck, that's right. And there are stories like that, that for some reason, but that's sometimes the difficulty. What is the reason? What made that stick in his mind that day? That's hard to analyze sometimes. The error of youth is to think that intelligence is a substitute for experience, while the error of age is to think that experience is a substitute for intelligence. Well said. Another myth, memory like muscle benefits from exercise. That's kind of discouraging. No, it's not discouraging. Not at all. But it's just a fact. It doesn't benefit from exercise. Another, a trained memory never forgets. What are we saying by that? Well, that everybody forgets sometimes. Another, remembering too much can clutter your mind. That's not true. And another that you've often heard is people only use 10% of their mental potential. That's not true either, because how can you know that that barrel is 10% full unless at one time you had it full? And nobody's mind memory has ever begun to drip over, and that we were assured that it was full. So if the barrel has never been full, we don't know where 10% is. We have no idea. In fact, I think God made a lot more capacity there than any of us will ever expend. Let's move on. The three stages of and processes of memory. Sometimes we call them the three R's of remembering. Recording, retaining, and retrieving. So before we can have the memory a year from now, we have to record it. It has to go in. Then we must store it. That's what we're saying by retaining, and be able to, in the future, retrieve it. Unretrievable means useless, right? That's where we often find ourselves. We say, I had it, I knew it, but can you retrieve it? That's what a test does in school, doesn't it? It sees if they have the ability to retrieve that information that was given to them. If you want three F's of not forgetting, we could say fixating, filing, and finding, if you like that better, but I don't want to clutter your memories. Now, here's an interesting little story, or help, to understand the difference between available and accessible.
I forget the one F already.
I'll say them again. Fixating, filing, and finding. I don't want to spend too much time there because I'm kind of doubling myself. But you might remember one, some people, and some the other. Okay, we're talking about the difference between available and accessible. Is there a difference? Here's a little boy, not that little. He asked his father, he said, Dad, is something lost when you know where it is? His father replies, No, son. Clearly relieved, the boy responds, Good, your keys are at the bottom of the well. Well, this brings us to short-term memory. There's a difference. We have short-term memory and we have long-term memory. We're going to focus on long-term, but we have to understand short-term. Short-term memory can be thought of as how much you can remember or focus on at one time. It's what's the working part of your memory. It's right here, right now. It needs to remember the phone number until you've dialed it, and it's gone. It's the working part right now. And we can demonstrate the limited capacity of reading a list of random digits slowly and then getting the person to repeat them back to us. So, like this, 5, 6, 4, 1. 3, 5, 4, 6, 8.
3, 5, 4, 6, 8.
8, 7, 2, 6, 9, 5. Not quite. You're pretty close. 3, 5, 9, 6, 4, 7, 2.
3, 5, 9, 6, 4, 7, 2.
Good. You might win yet. 3, 5, 2, 8, 9, 4, 5, 1. You forget the first one. 5, 6, 8, 4, 9, 4, 5, 6, 4.
5, 6, 8, 4.
Well, you got started. I should have been asking maybe, does somebody have that one? But no, I made you lose it. I have more here. We could keep going. But eventually, our short-term memory fades out. It says, I can't do it anymore. That's when the long-term has to come in and say, well, I'll take over for you. But we'll come back to that. We can help our our memories a little bit by chunking. And you're used to this. It's what we call chunking. How do you spell beautiful? Well, you've probably heard B-A-U-T-F-U-L. Well, what you did is chunk that word into bits, little pieces, and you've maybe helped your students. Or phone numbers as sets of digits. You know, we think of the area code, and then the next three, and for the last four, I almost never remember them 3548. It's always 3548. But that's not the same for everyone. My brother remembers telephone numbers by where they are on the keypad. Not for me, but that's the way he does. And so different people find that different techniques work for different people. So of what value is short-term memory before we leave it? Well, it saves a lot of clutter. Imagine if every phone number you ever knew, heard, and every shopping list you ever had, and every cookie count in your kitchen were still cluttering your brain. They're gone. They're long gone. You don't need them. And it helps us stay current with the world around us without needing to attempt to recall every individual memory trigger. So we can stay with the surroundings right now without dealing with all those memory triggers. All right, let's move on to the long-term memory. This is where our focus is this morning. This is what you would like to improve both in yourself and in your students. That's what we want to talk about. And brain surgeons have learned some interesting things about how amazing the memory is. Sometimes in working with the brain, they've touched with an electrical impulse different parts of the brain while a person's conscious, and he suddenly started bringing things to memory in tremendous detail. He all at once remembered a family gathering, let's say a long time ago, with intricate detail. You know what that means? That means the memory had recorded it somehow, or it wouldn't be in there. Now, maybe we need a shocker or something. Maybe that's so. Well, I don't think there's an easy solution that way. So I have to look at some other ways. Before information can move from short-term to long-term memory, catch this, it has to be coded. You have to code it. Otherwise, it doesn't go there. That's why that number of cookies you baked last time didn't really stick in your memory. You never coded it. You never gave it a place in the filing system, you see? And that's why sometimes our long-term memories fail us, is because we failed to code it. We failed to attach it to something. Well, this coding takes time and effort, and that's, does that sound like teaching? Teachers, we know what that's like. We talked about it yesterday, but we talk about it again today. There's a diagram in this book. I think I'll leave that. Show it to you later if you want to see it, of how that from the short-term memory to the long-term memory, what happens. It's very simple. It has to do with coding. All right. Here's an interesting little quotation. Patient speaking. Doctor, I need help with a memory problem. I'll be talking to someone, and right in the middle of the conversation, I'll forget what I'm talking about. Doctor, how long have you had this problem? Patient, what problem? Okay, let's talk about why we forget. Again, I'll need to move fairly rapidly. There are reasons why we forget. One is decay. It simply slips away from us or fades. It hasn't been used for a long time and it slips away. Another is repression. Bad memories tend to fade while the good ones remain. We know how that works. You might say, but I remember some bad things too. Yes, I know, but it's amazing why people talk about the good old days. They actually, if they would dig up all the memories of those days, there'd be as many bad ones as good ones. In fact, our neighbor, old neighbor, storyteller, Jake Friesen, used to say the good old D-A-Z-E, he said. Another reason is distortion. Because we remember things the way we want to remember them. And eventually, the memory becomes distorted. It's not the way it actually happened. Another is interference. What else happened in the meantime or right after? If a traumatic event happened right after the memory was made, it might go. It might not stay because there's too much intervention, interference. And the last one is cue dependency, because the memory that I'm looking for is dependent on a cue. Something has to trigger it, and I can't find the trigger. And we'll talk more about that in a bit too. Well, there are exceptional memories. That's where the term photographic memory comes from. And I could look at a few of these. Again, we need to hasten on. But there is someone known, we'll just call him S. He was able to recall perfectly as many as 70 words or numbers represented once and could later produce them in reverse order. Try that with the alphabet sometime if you think it's easy. He invariably performed successfully in experiments to test his retention without being given any warning 15 to 16 years after the session in which he had originally recalled the words. That's phenomenal. And nobody said, get ready, tomorrow I'm going to... No, it's just I walk up to you and say, what? And he just brought it back. During the test sessions, when he was being asked those things, he would sit with his eyes closed, pause, and then comment, yes, yes. This was a series you gave me once when we were in your apartment. You were wearing a gray suit and you looked at me like this. Now then, I can see you saying, and then he would just reel off the whole long list. Years later. And it makes it more remarkable because he was known as a mnemonist, and so therefore he had to do this lots of times. And so there were lots of lists people would, you know, give to him, and it's phenomenal. However, it's also, I always enjoy this, we meet people in life that we think are very, very strong at one point, and we kind of get this feeling that they're just a tremendous person. You know, we almost envy them, and you can just do everything. No, they can't do everything. He, this man, had trouble. His apparently photographic memory, it was more of a burden than a blessing. When he tried to read, every word brought forth an image. These images cluttered his mind and prevented him from understanding what he was reading. I could read more here. Abstract ideas presented problems and torments to him, as did metaphors and synonyms. For example, when a person was called a baby on one page and a child on another, it was hard for S to understand that the words were referring to the same person. Thus, it was very difficult for S to understand the overall material he read. So before you envy your wonderfully performing neighbor, just remember he has some trouble spots too. How do we remember things? This list is long. No, I'm one step ahead of myself, sorry. Something else first. How do we remember things? As teachers and students, this is a very keen interest to us. Remember that remembering is more effort than ability. It's more effort than ability, and it's more practice than talent. Sounds kind of familiar. Like the art boy that said, I don't know how to draw, and I said, good, that's why you came. We have to learn. We have to practice. All right, here's the long list of key points on how to remember. This is what's what we want to talk about this morning. How do I remember? How do I improve my memory? And like I said, it's a long list. We'll try to talk about them as we pardon me, as we move through them. The first one is meaningfulness. In one study that shows the effect of meaning on learning, people memorized a list of 200 nonsense syllables, a 200-word prose passage, and 200 words of poetry. The nonsense syllables took about an hour and a half to memorize, the prose took less than half an hour, and the poetry took about 10 minutes. Meaning. Put some meaning into it. So when teachers, that's our job, isn't it? Make it meaningful. Okay, next one. Familiarity. Exposure helps. A child that was read to in Greek when he was 3 showed some memory of Greek when he was 8. Maybe that's the story, Brother Arnold. And maybe that's what our mothers should be doing. They should be reading algebra and literature when to their 3-year-olds. Mothers are the best teachers, by the way. I could say that a lot more times, but I don't have time this morning to say it anymore. Rhymes. Here's the third one, the next one. Rhymes help. If I say, when did Columbus sail? Does a rhyme help? Does it come to mind? Yes. I before E except after C, and there it goes, the rhyme, right? We know it well. And it clues the memory, it makes it stick. So rhymes help. Another one is patterns. Oh, I should take time for this. Now, if I don't make any mistakes. All right, long enough, save time. If I told you to memorize that string, we could all do it. Just give ourselves a little bit of time. We could put that into memory. We could just work at that thing. But have you seen a pattern? It's a lot easier if we recognize pattern. I'm no better than you at this, don't worry. I just knew because I picked it up from that book. What do you have to add to get this? And then this. And then this. And then this. And then this. Well, you say, but not every list of numbers has that kind of pattern. No, it doesn't. But sometimes you can put pattern into something. That helps. Okay, another one. Let's move on. Organization. Information must be organized and cataloged. How much could you find in an organized library without a catalog? I've been in them. They're huge. They're big. So without that catalog to tell you where, you still are lost. How many of the 50 states could you list? Canada doesn't have enough provinces to try us out. How many of the 50 states could you list? In your mind, start listing them.
If I have a map, quite a few more.
That's right. So did you think of California and Maine and Florida and there you go. See, that's memory. A song you learned. Good. I'm glad that came up. What point am I trying to make right now?
I'm not sure. I was just saying, I just go down the East Coast and back.
That's right. He's combing across it. Mm-hmm. There's a system to it. There's organization to it. We don't just bounce all around and try to grab them randomly. And probably your system is geographical. Maybe you remember them alphabetically. I don't know. But for many of us, it probably is geographic. We start at one place and we work our way across them. So we're talking about organization. Organization can include chunking, like telephone numbers. We talked about that. Learning to touch type. Did you learn one letter at a time, or did you learn ASDFGSMILKJH? ASDFG. See, I learned on an old typing course. I don't know how they are today exactly, but we chunk. That's how we often learn. Another one. When is this class over? I have to watch my time somehow. 11 o'clock, is that right? Well, I guess we have reason to keep moving. The serial position effect. If you were to list the prime ministers of Canada, I'm guessing you'd do better with the first few and the last few than all the ones in between. That's the serial position effect. That's what we call that. All we're saying is that if you have a list of something to remember, and it doesn't matter what order it is, then put the hardest ones to remember first or last. Don't students do the same way? They can get the first few verses in the memory passage and the last few. But the ones in between are tougher. That's the serial position effect. And for that, we can't do much about it. They have to learn it all. But sometimes you can rearrange. All right. Association. Draw a quick sketch of Italy. Quickly. Now draw one of Denmark. Which one did you get more easily? Italy. Why?
The boot.
Because the boot. Who told you it's a boot?
Probably my teacher.
Probably your teacher. Somebody made an association for you, and it stuck. Mm-hmm. That's an important concept, teachers. Now you say, but I can't do that with the 280-some countries in the world. I know, but you can do that with some of them, and it helps. Make associations. Principle and principle. L-E for rule. A-L, A is man, the man. Stalactites and stalagmites. Stalactites have to hang on what? Tightly, so they come from the ceiling down. And so on. The number 1929 could be thought of as dollars and cents, or a year in 1929. It might have nothing to do with a year, but you remember it that way. You're making associations. Think around it. think of what might have been associated with it. Are you trying to remember the name of a certain teacher? Can't remember it. Think of how the classroom looked. Think of where you sat in the room. Think of how he looked when he taught. Think of how he taught. And all at once, the memory will be sparked, and you'll say, that's his name. So you're thinking around it. That often helps. Another is visualization. How many windows are in your house? Who should I pick on now? But you're counting them. How are you doing it?
Going around.
You're picturing each room one at a time. That's right. You're visualizing. Again, help your students whenever possible to visualize things. Make a picture of it for them. Here's a really important one, and that is attention. You must get before you can forget. Some student might say, I forgot, when he really should be saying, I didn't get. We too, teachers, same way. I forgot. No, you maybe never got it. Okay, that's an important one. And so attention is what helps us to get something. Which color is on top of a stoplight? Whose image is on a penny, if US penny? Is he wearing a tie? These are US questions, that's why. What four words, you're pretty quiet back there. What four words besides in God we trust appear on most US coins? When water goes down the drain, does it swirl clockwise or counterclockwise? Well, that depends who you talk to, too. I don't think everybody agrees with that. But you go ahead and research that. I won't argue about it right now. But on this side of the equator, in your house, it goes clockwise. All right. Now, if you think that I'm thinking you graded poorly, I'm not, because I wouldn't grade all that well on that either. And they're very common things. Why don't you know it? Because you never paid attention to it. That's why. Am I blaming you for that? No, I'm not. But the fact is that attention, without attention, we don't get it. We don't make connections automatically. And so memorization is hard work. To get it, I must pay attention. People's names would fit here. Are we paying enough attention? I'm talking to myself on that one. Did you tell me your name was Leonard this morning?
No.
No? See, I didn't pay enough attention. What was it?
Levon.
Well, he's got the first letter, right? I'll come back to that if we have time, at least. Sometimes it helps to mentally note what we are doing. I am putting the spatula on the milk pitcher. For whatever reason, I don't know. That doesn't matter. But this is what I am doing right now. It helps you to... All right. This point ranks high in importance. Are we paying enough attention? Are our students paying attention? One time my students weren't paying the best attention, and I was talking about how a tornado works, and I drew the whole thing out here on the board, and I was all done, and I just erased it and said, now draw a diagram in your notebooks like I drew on the board. Some of them weren't very happy with me. Well, sit up. Make your students pay attention by doing things like that. Expecting them say something and then say, now what did I say? And they should have it because they're paying attention. One other attention killer is to talk and talk and talk and talk for a long time and say little. Know what you will say, hit the main points, and expect them to be right with you the whole time. And if they're not, make it happen. All right. Wasn't our subject. Repetition. Here's the next one. Repetition. Overlearning. What happens if you only learn until you get it? You'll forget it. We must overlearn. Grade one, two teachers, you're overlearning all day long, overteaching. I guess the students are overlearning. All students are, but you just drill and drill and drill. You know, the student goes home and says, I know what the letter A says. And that's the last time you talk about it all year. Will he still know? Not a chance. And so we must overlearn. That's our job, teachers. Imagine if it didn't happen in school. And this also explains why cramming for a test is not very effectual in actually retaining the material. Mm-hmm. Our brains are like a battery. The faster in, the faster out. We use batteries at home to power our house, our whole operation. The faster you charge a battery, the faster it leaves. You have to soak it in. So that's why solar is one of the best charges. Soak it in. Our brains are a little the same way. Cramming, you never really got it. It just went in short term, maybe a little bit of long term, goes again. Relaxation. Here's another one. Relaxation is a wonderful aid to the memory. Don't be too tense. One man stood up for a speech, and he said, "Friends, just before I stood up to speak to you, only God and I knew what I was going to say. Now only God knows." Well, I partly pity him. I think he should have written a bit more down. But anyhow, the fact is that he was not relaxed, and that's what affected his memory, right? Relaxation. And this brings us to mental blocks. And that's not always easy to recognize and or correct mental blocks. But sometimes, I've done it. Sometimes I've told a student, "You're thinking too hard." Say it pleasantly. That's the way it is. He's blocking because he's thinking too hard. Don't think so hard. The answer's not that difficult. Here's where we were. Here's where we are. What? Relax. Another is context. It has been shown that students who take a test in the same room in which they studied will perform better than if they had been in a different room. That's interesting. I actually partly believe that, though I don't think it would affect everybody the same. But context is powerful. Whatever the case, it's a good challenge for teachers to keep a lot of order, pattern, and consistency in the learning process. It's necessary. Here's another one, interest. Remember that if attention is important, it is often interest that sparks attention. There were two students who were studying French, the French language. The one student was planning a visit to France a few weeks or months down the road. Which one do you think learned more French? Why? It's obvious, isn't it? Interest. That's why. Interest. And so, teachers, again, we want to develop that interest where we can. Feedback is another. Imagine your target practice again. You back way away from the target and you shoot 50 rounds without ever going to the target to see what's happening at that end. Well, you say, that's no way to target practice. It might be clean missing. How can I get better aim if I don't get any feedback from the target? Okay, well, we need feedback too. We need to make sure that things are happening. And so that's where, for my students, they usually rote their memory at older grades. But I would let them do a trial memory test anytime they wanted. When they actually wrote it, then no. I had to know they were writing a test because it was a test. But any day they wanted, they could go get a paper and try it. They were getting feedback from the target. Do I know it well enough to write it? Well, try it out. That's feedback. Or helping to keep students aiming at a chapter's objectives as you go along. Teachers will say, "Now this you want to know." Or emphasize, keep them aiming at those objectives. And one more, study with an organized approach. We could talk about SQ3R. I won't go into detail on that. We don't have time. Let's talk about mnemonics. Mnemonics are simply aids to memory. Mnemonics. Aids to memory. Reading. We just don't have time for too much here. Bacterian camel versus a dromedary camel. How are we going to remember? Well, this has two bumps and that has one. That'd probably help, wouldn't it? Bad grammar, M-A-R, will mar a report. So that's how you spell grammar. Station uri, E-R, is for a letter, E-R. I have my other way to remember that, but that's good. Many rhymes can be referred to as mnemonic techniques. A pint's a pound, a world around, my mother used to say. Cooking rice, water's twice. So if you want a cup, you use a cup of rice, you better use 2 cups of water. 30 days are in September, April, June, and in November. Someone said that more appropriately might say 30 days are in September, all the rest I can't remember. But hopefully not. Hopefully we actually remember it. Long numbers can be remembered by a sentence whose letter count per word matches the digit. He talked about that here. Yes, I know a number for 3.1416. Yes has 3 letters. I has 1 letter. No has 4 letters. A has 1 letter. A number has 6. Yes, I know a number helps him remember 3.1416. Now you might say that's cumbersome. Depends. I'm not going to stand here and say which method will work for every person. All right. We'll look at some techniques of mnemonics. First letter technique. Sarah made Henry eat olives is the Great Lakes in order. Colors. Starts with R. Roy, G, Biv, good. Biv, I like to say, because I don't think there is an I in there. It doesn't belong in there. It spoils it. That's right. That's science. Man, very early, finish it. Made, jars. Well, that's a different one now. Where'd you learn that one? Man, very early, made jars, stand upright, nearly perpendicular. It doesn't matter. That's the order of the planets. Say it again.
My very excellent mother just served
us 9 bucks. Okay, I think I read that one time too. That's good. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. In which class do you use that one?
Algebra.
Algebra, that's right. Big ingredients in order. Catching this, cooks? One lady remembered this. Shirley shouldn't eat fresh mushrooms. What she was actually remembering was sugar, shortening eggs, flour, and milk. But she just remembered Shirley shouldn't eat fresh mushrooms, and she knew in exactly which order to put them. Simple. Do you use mnemonics in English? In music class, sorry? Oh, music is full of mnemonics, right? All kinds of sentences. Okay, another one is keyword. Do you use a keyword? In the Hindi language, the word for girl is lardaki. So you could picture a girl with a great big life-size key beside her. Lardaki. That's keyword. All right. How do we make visual associations? We're going to talk about visual associations in a moment, if we have enough moments. But how do we make them? First is interaction. If we're picturing a dog and a broom to help us remember something, we have to do more than picture the dog and the broom side by side. That's not that strange. That's not that. You have to do so. Okay, the next one is vividness. Make sure you see the dog sweeping with the broom, or whatever he's doing. You can put your own thing. Put motion into it. Put substitution into it. Maybe you are sweeping with the dog now. Okay. Or exaggeration. A little dog with a great broom. What you're doing is helping your memory to remember. Another one is bizarreness. I've mentioned a few already. A dog being chased by a broom is sort of plausible. The storybooks like to say that. But someone sweeping with a broom that has a dog tied to the end of the handle, you might remember that. Abstract nouns, I won't go into that. Should you make up your own mnemonics? Research would say yes. But I wouldn't reinvent the wheelbarrow. I wouldn't start with a music book and reinvent all those sentences. Don't do that, please. But sometimes you making your mnemonic will help you remember it because you worked hard to figure it out. All right, systems of mnemonics. They can be used for shopping lists, things to do, helps in a report, the Ten Commandments. This is when it really gets exciting because now we can actually start remembering things. The first one is the link. I'm trying to decide. There's some of these that I think work better than others. Linking things together. I can give you just a really quick picture of this one. You want to remember paper, tire, doctor, rose, and ball. And so you picture the paper and the tire together, maybe a car driving with paper tires. You get those cemented in your mind. And then you picture a car driving, then you use a tire to erase writing from a paper. Next you associate tire and doctor, a tire running over a doctor or something. That's not very nice. But you start fastening these things, you're linking one to the next, okay? Then you can remember them. Do you think? Yes, you could remember them if you pictured that well enough in your mind. Another is story. You could use the same, where does he say that? So we put a story to the same thing. The paper boy rolled a tire down the sidewalk and it hit the doctor coming to make a house call. It knocked him into a rose bush where he picked up a ball and threw it at the boy. Interesting. Loci. I'm going to talk about loci for a little bit. Loci is position, where things are. And I use this just when we're leaving on this trip. I do use some of these memories, but though I use it especially with this in mind, but Losi is positioned. So at our place, when I get home, we have a small low deck, then we have an upper deck, then we have the house door, and then the place where I put my coat. And where do you go next, man? Refrigerator, right? So we go to the refrigerator. If you want to keep it going after 5, you go next to the table with your bowl, and then you go to the recliner, and then you go for a shower, and then you go to bed. Well, whatever, you can make as many as you like. But kind of, you have to remember positions that you would naturally, so you don't mix up the positions. Okay, you got that. And so I knew the morning we left on a trip, that something, I kept thinking the night before of things I had to remember. Okay, so the low deck, I made sure I knew that I had the GPS on that deck. I knew that I needed that. We have one and it goes around different vehicles. Okay. And then I had the cord from that all tangled into the tie-down straps on the next deck up for tying my load down my pickup. And then I made the whole door of the house into an inverter. I have a little inverter under the hood that we used to cook our meals while we drive. So I made the whole door a great big yellow inverter, so I wouldn't forget that. Then I got inside, and a closet door, I hung our Sunday shoes and our great big shoes hanging on the door handle of the closet. Bizarreness. And then I went to the refrigerator. It was right full of tools, grinders, and see, some of the things we bought down here I had to fabricate first before I could take them home. So I had cutoff saw, grinder in there. Oh, then I thought I wanted a couple of batteries. So I made my cereal bowl full of batteries, the whole bowl full of batteries. It works. It works. The next morning, I could just go across that list. It works. All right. Now you might say, well, what about next time? You used it all. What happens if next time you want to remember 5 things? You get all, yes, there's a little problem with tangling, but not nearly as much problem as no system at all. Not nearly. Here's another one. The PEG system. I like this one. I've used it. Why? Well, I had this. I took a class somewhat like this in Teachers Institute one time. 1 bun, 2 crew, 3 tree, 4 door, 5 hive, 6 sticks, 7, 11 or heaven, 8 gate sign, 9, 10 hen. I've associated rhyming words. I know I said them too fast right now. A whole list of them. In the first 10 chapters in Acts, 1 bun. I see 2 buns like this, and on one is Jesus ascending, and on the other bun is an ordination service. 2 crew, there's a whole crew of people together at Pentecost, wasn't there? And 3 tree, the lame man stood up like a tree, and 4, I could go through the whole thing. It works, again, that's what I'm trying to say. It's a system that works. You could do the same for the 10 commandments. And you could do the same with the alphabet, even. A, hey, B, B, C, the sea out, the ocean. D, deed, and so on. You can even use things like this to count repetitive objects. You know how it is, 5 minutes between, you know, you loaded a bushel of tomatoes, and then you have to go pick the next one, then you get mixed up in your count. Well, just every time you load a bushel, you put it over a bun, first of all, and the next time you put it over a crew, and the next time over a tree, and the next, it helps to associate those things in your mind. What about remembering people's names and faces? I have to read you this story. It's really short, to the point. For example, Claire Booth Luce, former ambassador to Italy, was introduced at a gathering to David Burpee, flower and vegetable distributor. A short time later, she could not remember his name, but did not say anything. Sensing her embarrassment, he said quietly, "I'm Burpee." Mrs. Luce replied, "That's quite all right. I'm sometimes troubled that way myself." But it is embarrassing to not know people's names. And I can put up my hand high for that. I have a lot of trouble with that. And it's easy for us to just excuse ourselves and say, "I can't remember people's names." I think I should stop doing that so much and be determined to remember people's... You know why women tend to remember them better than men? No, I think it's because they have an interest. It's interest. That's a lot of it. But you know, they've actually discovered that you remember a person's name better if the first time I meet you, I don't get your name first. First we talk for a while. And that's the poor... We should learn name first, right? Because first, when I'm meeting you, I have a lot of things to think about besides your name. I'm kind of worried about how this is all going to go and what are we going to talk about. And I'm not getting it. Remember what we said? Mm-hmm. I'm not paying enough attention to get it when he said what his name is. And then it's gone. First chance, I lost it. What are we going to do? Okay, how do we improve our skill? Make sure you get the name. That's what we're talking about. Get it. Repeat it. Say it after him. Spell it in your mind. Work it over. Ask about it. Gee, did you say your name is Laverne? He's not looking at me. Write it down if possible. I'll tell you a story. A man in our community, Glenn Hart, had a phenomenal memory. He would buy things and resell them, and he had his warehouse full. And you'd pick up something, and you could just see his brain recalling that when he bought that 3 years ago or five, and he somehow knew what he paid for, and he knew what to sell it for. Amazing. And he would remember people's names. Oh, if you met him once, he would know you for good. I mean, he just remembered. We were there one time, and I had to find his bill book for him. I had to find his glasses and his pen. Or the boys and I had to. What's wrong with him? Well, the same thing we talked about before. He had a tremendous strength, but he had weaknesses at the same time. But his ability to remember names, but you know, one reason is because when he knew I was Robert, that's what I heard for a while. Everything was, you know, Robert, and Robert, I'm so glad. It was just Robert, Robert, Robert. What was he doing? Well, he's remembering my name. Get it. Make the name meaningful. There are different ways to do that. When I took this class at Numidia Institute years ago, I went with one of the teachers there down to his place for supper, and he had a table full of children, a lot of them. We went around that table, and I got all their names. When I met my wife a few days later, or half a week, I told her all the names of Jonathan Rudolph's children. I could never have done that normally, not a chance. Why? Well, I was taking this class on memory, and as each child gave me a name, I associated it with someone else that I knew that had that name. I think he has a Kenneth and a Sharon, but don't tell him. I mean, I don't know. That's been 20 years ago or more. But what I'm trying to say is that some of those methods do work. Mm-hmm. If you can, it takes effort. That's what we're saying too. You can't just sit there and have them say their names to you. You're going to have to focus and think. And then think about their facial features if you want to connect with them later, of course. Review the association, even the next couple days. Review what his name is again, and then a few weeks later. Well, we have absent-mindedness yet. A professor was walking across the campus one day, and he met a student. The student asked him a question, and he answered the question. And then when he was all done with the student, he said, "Now, which way was I walking when you met me?" "Well," he said, "that way." "Oh, good," he said. "That means I had my lunch." Well, we've probably all done things not quite that serious, maybe, but rather absent-mindedly. It's a common problem. What are we going to say? How do you cure it? Pay attention. That's all. Usually it happens when we're doing something habitual or routine, or we become distracted. It's so habitual that we don't pay any attention to it. It helps to put things together if you can. If you're taking your pills every morning, then take them with breakfast, unless there's reason you shouldn't. Put things together that need to be remembered, or make strange combinations. The wife wants to remember to tell her husband, it's falling apart here, to call somebody when he comes home from work. And so she pictures her husband coming in the door with phones hanging around his neck. It works. I've done things like this. Or the husband sees milk jugs piled around the gas pump. He's going to town to get gas, but he knows his wife wants him to get milk too. So when he gets there, guess what he sees? Or the car is full of pencils. You want to remember the art pencils tomorrow morning to take to school. Just fill your whole car right full of art pencils. You open the door. You can still forget, but it really helps. Make strange combinations. Put your car keys in the wrong pocket. Where are my keys? Oh, yeah, I remember. See? You made yourself remember. Or hang your glove on the door car, on the car door handle. You know, hang your glove over that. You go to get out. Oh, yeah. Sure enough. String on the finger, that's what we might call it, right? But it's use your own method. The string on the finger doesn't help if every day you put a string on your finger. I mean, it becomes too commonplace. Well, sometimes in schoolwork, people like to focus on the loftier goals in education, and while that's good, there is an abundance of memory work required to get us there. That's just the way it is. You can say, well, I want to go into science, I want to go into algebra. You're going to have to know a lot of things by memory to get you there. Does God remember? My time's up. What's Genesis 8, verse 1 say? How's it start? And God remembered Noah. That's right. What if he hadn't? Does God care if we remember? What's Ecclesiastes 12, 1 say?
Remember now.
Thank you. Remember now thy Creator. That's right. Well, God bless you and your memories in His service. You're dismissed.